My name is Velocity Child. Every Thursday at the stroke of midnight, step into the parlor of Fallen Woman, a weekly soiree of artists on the fringe with underground thoughts and voices shared with uncensored abandon through provocative opinions, seductive humor, candor, and song. Velocity Child here. Welcome to Fallen Woman. I am here with a wonderfully opinionated crew. Incredibly excited about tonight. Juliet Jeske, hey.
Hello.
Legs Malone.
Hi.
Machine Dazzle.
Hi.
Femme motherfucking appeal.
Houska Tabata.
Hey.
What language was that?
Finnish.
Was that Finnish?
It was.
She's a worldly woman.
What did it mean?
I am pleased to meet you.
Oh.
So, I have no list of topics tonight. We're just going to fly by the seat of our pants. I figured we could because all of you have so much to say on so many things. Who would like to start and just name your topic, just go for it.
She's on my ball right now.
She's on, I know, like,
see, yeah, I didn't want the ball. I needed stability.
Stem appeal,
was this your ball?
Yeah.
She likes the ball.
I normally sit
she
on
likes
that.
The bouncy
well,
ball.
I would like to, I would love to offer.
Hello, Sadie. Sadie's coming to her defense. She's
it's
hilarious.
True. I would love to propose a mid-show exchange of our seats. Which is good. You're okay right there?
Yeah.
All right.
The
ball that I'm sitting on, ladies and gentlemen, is incredibly soft and fun.
Yes.
And to be honest, it would break my heart to give it up, but I'm glad that Femme has ever so kindly let me stay on the ball, as it were.
You don't have long legs, so it makes sense. It's really made for a long leg. Well, she's got the longest legs in the
machines are longer than mine.
Are you sure?
I might sit on that ball later.
Oh, yeah.
Machine.
Really?
It's what's your inseam?
Awesome. My inseam, it's about a 37.
What?
Yeah, I'm 34 and a half, but of course. I mean, how tall are you?
Well, I'm 6'4". My legs are long.
You're a long-limbed, tall drink of water.
Tall drink of something. I mean, water is great. I mean, especially with this heat wave we have, although it's breaking tomorrow, I hear.
Faith with the rain, thank Christ.
Yeah, I often buy, you know, when you buy, like, proper pants and they come unhemmed, I will just leave them that way. And I
just walk till the edges disintegrate.
32.
Oh, I don't, I'm not one of those that walks on my pants, actually.
31.
If only I could. I don't, they're never long enough.
Just shy of 5'7"? I'm at that awkward height where normal inseam for women, which is 30, that's the standard, is just a little too short. But if
it's
I get
too
long,
short for me.
Then it looks too long.
Oh,
so
that's
that.
Nonsense. There are so many.
You must have
I'm
a large.
How
tall
are you, 31,
32.
I'm like just shy of 5'7".
Like,
I'm 5'3", and I have short fucking legs.
I just have, mine are right in between.
I run in the 30 as well.
See, I can't, well, it depends where the waist is to the inseam. All
but
that.
I always do have to cut the bottoms off
jeans,
my pants.
Jeans never really quite fit me right. They're always a little too short. But then if I get the long, they look ridiculous. So it's like, I don't know.
I long for a pair of jeans that fits me properly.
I know.
Levi's, you can't go wrong.
But they don't
that's
make
a good
long.
Point.
I love Levi's.
That's all I wear.
And they have so many different styles. You'll find
this
one.
This is an ad
too.
For Levi's.
I know exactly. This episode of Fallen Women brought to you by Levi's.
Levi's.
It's interesting. I'm looking around and all my guests are rather long in the leg today.
We are, yeah.
I'm
people
the
make people
I'm
think
the
I'm a
hobbit of the episode.
When you have long legs, people always think you're a lot taller too.
That's true.
Cracks me up. People always think I'm taller than I am. I'm like, oh no.
Oh well, when I'm sitting down, people think that I'm really short because I have a very short torso. And then I stand up and they're like, oh hello. Where did you come from?
That legs,
fun.
Darling. Legs.
Yeah, and when Lola and I sit next to each other, we look like we're basically the same height.
Yeah,
and we stand up, and I am 7 inches taller than her.
Wow.
Oh my God, that's adorable.
What happens to me is I'll enter a room or like the subway car or whatever, and then like people they look up at my face And then they look down at my feet to make sure that my face is really that
it's
high.
Real.
Yeah,
wow.
They need to know.
They
need
they
to
have
know.
To take you all in, and they actually have to do a pano with their head.
They have to all the way down and all the way back up. And they're not even seeing in me heels. Usually, you know.
I just had a friend.
You must see the top of people's heads all the time.
All the time. I can see those bad dye jobs when roots need to be done. I'm
the
really good at seeing the dust on your refrigerator.
Yeah. That could be a job for you. You could go around and say, I can check things that you can't.
You know, I need to, people often ask for my business card, and I have to say, embarrassing, I don't have one. But
she
I should get
them.
One. I
Why
know.
Not?
I'm a word
at
of mouth
sticker.
Person. I like being used. I like that.
I appreciate
or
a
magnet.
But I like being a word of mouth,
You're
but
doing
I should
fine.
Get one. Tall person jobs.
Exactly.
I will change your light bulbs.
Perfect. That's brilliant.
I'll dust this off
of
here. Whatever.
That's a genius machine.
I'll do your
machine. How would you describe what you do? Because it's not, it's drag, but it's
I
its
will
own,
reach for the top shelf.
It's its own version of drag.
It's its own thing. It's hard to describe. I know,
is that
I never.
Like drag, drag.
Could I call
I
it
know.
Sculptural reality?
I love
sculptural
it.
Sculptural reality. I was just termed. Architectural camouflage earlier today,
oh
but I can't tell you the reference because it's a secret. But it's drag, but it's different. Like it's not. It's my drag is performance art.
Cabaret
it
is, style,
but it's even more than that. Yeah.
But there's always a story. There's usually a story and a reason. It's not just a look. There's a story.
You're not so much of a stripper. Like,
I'm not really a stripper. Yeah, Dazzle Dancer days are over for me. I mean, I have been on many stages naked. Although, covered in glitter isn't naked.
No.
It's amazing how covered you feel
yeah.
when your naked body is covered in glitter. It's not really naked. There's something else that's going on. You know what I mean?
Well, at the trunk dump, you were at the trunk dump, which was a wonderful Donald Trump bash that I produced a few weeks ago, the Slipper Room. Machine Dazzle was a bag of Cheetos. Flaming hot Cheetos? Is that what you said, Fanny?
Oh, well, no, that was part of the story. I was introducing a new flavor.
Oh.
The new flavor is called Nuclear Family with Spicy Mushrooms.
That's
and
right.
And the front had a big mushroom cloud on it.
Oh,
shut
right.
the front
yes.
door.
But I don't know that people noticed it at first, but it was, you know.
I did, but you reminded me. Thank you for reminding me.
That's what I was doing.
It's
how I was
the video footage
the
I got of you was after you removed
I have
the
whole
bag.
Act.
After,
yeah.
I have
back
the whole act.
Yourself.
I got the whole act.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'll
be
you.
Happy to please.
I will.
I need a reel. I need a reel.
I can
for real.
And although you
I know
doing,
somebody who could do that, I'm sure you know even more.
I think I know who it is, maybe.
Yeah, maybe just a thought.
Okay, also.
And although you were doing the classic balloon burlesque strip, you had on a very stunning bodysuit underneath. Was it metallic?
It was partially metallic. Mm-hmm. It was made out of this cool multicolored crushed velvet. It was kind of like a burnt orange color. And then I attached little shiny bits to it. So there were sequins on it, but it was, kind of, it was irregular. Certainly one of a kind.
And you had 5 or 6 volunteers that were playing the atmosphere around you, so to speak.
Correct. I love audience participation. The first person I called up was the narrator. I gave him, he had, basically pieces of poster board that had, every time I popped a balloon, it was like boom or blam. And so, so he changed it and they were basically those. What's the name of those
comic
words?
Book fighting
comic
words.
Book word, exactly.
Yeah.
And I was starting to make them up. I mean, like, I don't know.
Pow, blam.
Onomatopoeias.
Kerplop. Shaloo.
Slam.
Yeah. Right. And then I had two people in the back with
silk fans.
So they were like, the heat, providing heat in the back. And then I had one girl who was the explosion.
Yes.
Every time I popped a balloon, her job was to spray the confetti all over. She didn't do a very good job, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, yeah.
But she kept throwing it on the floor.
You're
supposed to throw it in the air, not just on the floor.
Yeah.
She tried really hard.
She did.
And I can't remember. I had two other people.
Wet blankets tend to explode on the floor instead of in the air.
Needless to say, it wasn't noticed very much, but let's hear it for that girl on tambourine. I thought
they have a great tambourine.
And what was the tambourine? The sounds of the.
No, just because a tambourine is just an exciting instrument.
Yes, like sleigh bells.
It makes any song a little more disco.
Speaking of nuclear families, did you guys see the great clip of Melania with Barron getting off the helicopter, moving into the White House, and he just looked completely miserable.
I know. What was his T-shirt? His T-shirt said the experts, right?
What?
Poor kid.
What?
The kid's T-shirt said the experts.
That poor kid.
Or experts.
Because he's just like, I don't want to be in any of this. And
by the time this is over,
in a horrible, awkward stage of 11.
He's probably autistic, though.
He's on the spectrum.
Expert
for sure.
At that.
I know, babe. It just looks. I feel bad for him because an innocent kid that didn't ask for any of this. But just the miserableness.
And has his own floor.
Wow.
He's left all alone.
Oh Christ!
As an autistic kid, that is.
That's not good.
It's not good.
No.
You think he's being forced into a lot more meds than he should be?
Ooh, hard to say.
No, I think she's very consciously shielding him for good reason because, you know, it's like her first thing was like, let's not be bullies.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, she's married to the biggest
bully
of all. And it's because her son is so vulnerable,
I
think.
Come over or bring in some animals?
No.
They say animals are good.
He doesn't believe in dogs. Trump has never had a dog. Or a cat or anything.
No.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, what if they poop on the gold?
Yeah, exactly. You can't have that.
Yeah. I'd be afraid of what he would do to it.
The picture just said everything. They just looked like it was miserable family. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, yay.
Animals don't hide their feelings as well as family members and wives. Yeah.
Poor kid.
Being a dog and you'd pee on Donald Trump. That's
actually a
life.
Beautiful meditation.
See it like a meditation, like an audio meditation tape.
Dog urinating on Donald Trump.
Yes.
Give the dog.
Wait. Okay, get this. Hold on.
All mics on film.
Okay. Be the dog that urinates on Donald Trump.
Yes.
Because apparently he has a thing for urine.
And then two. And let the stream flow.
Let it flow. Be one with the dog.
Yes. I can't wait for the pee.
What's
tape.
The dog's name?
You know it's going to come out.
River.
Got to exist somewhere.
I like that.
No one's deleting that file.
Hell no.
What file?
We're talking about the pee tape, which you know exists. You know is out there.
Right.
So gross.
In Russia with the hotel, the hookers.
I keep thinking because people are going to try to save their own skin, that it will just, like all of these things do, it will just start to completely collapse. Like people will be like, oh, I'm going to go to prison. Oh, hell no.
Well, you would think that would be the case, but Mr. Jefferson Beauregard sessions today.
Beauregard.
That little sprite. Yeah.
That fucking bullshit Keebler elf racist
Oh. He thinks more people should be incarcerated, which is like, really?
The Keebler Schmeagle.
Keebler Schmeagle.
He was like, how dare you? I look like a little elf and I hate people.
Oh my God.
Especially those colors.
Well, he had the senator from California who was like mopping the floor with him, and he was like, he literally said, he goes, I can't even keep up with this. Like, he made a comment like, the pace of this is just, it's upsetting. Because she was just like, psh, 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 with her questions, she was just like, can't remember her name. She's from California.
Kamala Harris.
There you go. She's a woman of color, and I love her.
Yes.
That was just a beautiful metaphor, watching her just completely clean his clock. This little weasel.
Well, thank God she's there, because there is, oh my God, like, I kind of want to, like, retract what I'm about to say. I'm not even going to say it, because I want to focus on what we have as opposed to what is.
Okay.
But give us the juxtaposition. Sure. Say what
it's basically how Kamala Harris was, she had her hand slapped by, I forget his name, but the senator who was leading the hearing, asking her to be more courteous.
Yeah.
When questioning.
Yeah.
Who was it? Who was she questioning?
He wouldn't say that if she were a man.
No way.
No, exactly. No, and it came in the exact same thing, where men were asking the exact same thing, but she's the one who got called out.
Right.
And even today, the same thing happened in a different way.
Yeah, if you're female and have an opinion, you're automatically a bitch.
Yeah, and then you are fought as such, and it's men who do it. And all those feet need to be held to the fire, because karma's coming, calling.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's inevitable, I think.
It's just such, I can't believe it really is like an alien race called the Republicans populating our planet and taking shit over.
Yes.
Because, and they're putting party above people. I mean, these people have no heart, no soul, no morals.
None.
I mean, look at what they're doing to education.
Healthcare.
Holy shit. Literally today, the day that we're recording, they are trying to pass a brand new health bill behind closed doors without a public hearing. That is unacceptable.
It's unheard
when the
of.
Healthcare of 25 million people is at stake, that where's your heart? Who, like, do you think of people as chattel? As
it
meat?
Makes me feel like they're trying, when you say chattel, it makes me feel like they are in the process, because we are overpopulated. Society.
Oh, yeah, the whole New World Order thing. I can see how it definitely.
I almost feel like it's a thinning of the herd. Mm-hmm.
And let's start with people with disabilities.
Exactly.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
And the old people.
What other country did that?
Yeah.
Oh, Germany.
Yep. I mean, the fact that they'll call asthma a pre-existing condition that will cut you out of the system. Asthma. Something that, like, probably I have, you know, out of this five people, that's so common. That, like, is people are basically, no one knows why you get it. It's autoimmune. It can kill you.
Environmental.
It can, absolutely. I mean, the asthma up in Harlem is horrific.
But it's just one of those things that is so common that something like that, they'll say, oh, you can't get, I mean, back in the day, I couldn't get health insurance in Illinois because of something incredibly minor. And no matter how much money I had, they wouldn't let me get insurance. So it wasn't even like, oh, well, we'll make your insurance $500 a month. They just said, no, we're not going to sell it to you. So, like, going back to a system like that is absolutely barbaric.
Right.
And they don't even care. They're just like, oh, you know.
They're actively, but it's beyond not caring. They're concealing it. They're concealing their just straight-up contempt. They're legislating contempt.
Yes.
Yeah. It's
elitist.
Mm-hmm.
Privileged.
Unbelievable.
Entitled.
Rose, where are you? Come home to roost. We need you, please.
Yes, seriously.
I mean, I feel like America has a lot of karma that is needs to, you know, the piper, the piper, Pied Piper, as it were, is coming.
I think you helped me almost just now realize a reoccurring nightmare I used to have about the apocalypse, where I was sitting like out in a nice, beautiful park, like hilly fantasy field on a picnic bench, and with some people. Long story short, it looked like it was getting overcast, and I looked up and I realized that the entire sky is turning black with crows.
Whoa.
From every corner. And the whole, and it's in a line in my song Electra that I see the crow turn the sky black.
Yeah,
that
that's
one.
Right.
And write the limb hand on your Bible stack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, do you know what the meaning of apocalypse is?
And when you
is?
Say crows coming home to roost, I'm like, oh my God, that must, is that, I heard that that term all the time growing up. That must have been it. Yeah.
Karmic return. But do you know where the word apocalypse comes from and what it actually means? So it's from the Greek.
Yes.
And it literally means unveiling or uncovering. It's just like that. I remember when I first learned this years and years and years ago.
The reveal.
Literally, it means the reveal. And
Revelations.
Yeah, well, that's what Revelations is all about. The book of the Bible is all about that.
Yeah.
And it's, I'll never forget thinking this. I was like in high school when I learned this, and thinking about how like people, I mean, like your word is your bond. Yes, that's in the Bible, but it's also like what we say we create.
Yeah.
And the people who have been going on and on and on and on and on and on, and on about the apocalypse, all they're doing is foretelling their fate, I feel, on an emotional, energetic level.
In a way, bringing on that spilling over into everyone else's reality, too. So that's
well, yes, unfortunately, yes.
Very intrusive.
Absolutely, but at the same time, like they are creating that, and unfortunately, a lot of those people have
praying
held
for
major
it.
Offices in government for a very long time. I mean, Reagan's Minister of the Environment, or whatever that term is, was a Seventh-day Adventist who feels like the world's about to explode, so why bother doing it? Like, that's, you know, you probably shouldn't put somebody in charge of the environment who thinks the world's going to end tomorrow.
Right.
You know, and you look at, like, everything else, and it's like, because then they're like, well, fuck it. Redwood Forest, chop them down. Stumptown City, baby. You know, it's like, you know, it's, to me, it's like these people, they are creating reality. I refuse to subscribe to it. Yes, I am. We are all included in it, but I reject them out of love for myself and my fellow people.
Absolutely not. Thought process.
Right. And I'm I mean, but it's so crazy because what the shit we're witnessing
is
like
scary.
Okay. Like I went after the election. I stopped reading the newspapers, and I'm an avid newspaper reader. I was like, nope, can't do it. I cannot. Nope. I'm practicing self-care by not looking at the media at all. And then when shit started to go south, I was like, let me open up the New York Times. Let's do the BBC. I just subscribed to the Washington Post. Now I'm like, ooh, what's happening next? Like, I can now, it's suddenly like, it's like watching a car crash in slow motion, but that's also moving exceptionally quickly, if that makes sense.
So, I go to Google, I type in Trump, and then I click on the word on the top menu that says news.
Yeah, it's all
that
it
just
is.
Gets to the heart of the matter.
It's just like bang, 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 bang.
And every day it's something new.
Well, I'm a big Pod Saves America listener. It's a podcast. It's political, and they are so funny because they were all speechwriters for Obama. And
oh wow!
A couple of them are very, very funny, and they write. They, on their show, they're always like, we can't even keep up with this. Like, because they do it twice a week, and they're like, so much has happened in 3 days. Mm-hmm. We literally can't keep up with this. They're like, I don't even know how, because it's like one right after the other, right after the other. Just like, what did he say? What did he do? What did he try to get past? And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the Mermaid Parade this year, because I think it's going to be
political as fuck.
I'm going to be super political this year.
What are you doing? Tell
doing
us.
A Statue of Liberty resist theme that's basically a glam Statue of Liberty but with resist all over her. I made my own crown. And I have the First Amendment like written on muslin, like it's with the same type of font, all hand painted, that says "We the People," like the Constitution, and
awesome.
It's just, yeah, it's gonna be funny. I'm already a little worried that I'm gonna get some like old school Brooklyn guy who's like, "Hey, make America great again, you libtard!" You know, like somebody's gonna, you know, because it's never 100%.
Well, those Brooklyn guys were great with you when you went on your AIDS.
No, they were wonderful. I did work for AIDS Walk this year.
Yeah.
I did some temp work for AIDS Walk for Gay Men's Health Crisis is the organization that runs AIDS
Walk. The story
when
you got to that bar.
Oh, yeah. I had really incredible people that you wouldn't expect that would be like, oh, my God, you're with AIDS Walk? Let me tell you a story. You know, and they would just start telling me.
Old men in the bar in an afternoon, like.
I could tell this story again because it was pretty incredible.
Good one.
I was in Bay Ridge. Bay Ridge was my favorite neighborhood because it's like old school Brooklyn, but it's not snobby yet. It's still like, it's a little bit of money down there, but they're still like, how are you doing? What's up? And yet it's very diverse. You know, like you wouldn't expect it to be as diverse as it is, but it's a very diverse neighborhood. So we had to do this during the day, like Monday through Friday. So I'm going into bars at like 3, so it's, yeah, it's kind of a weird time, a weekday to go to a bar. It's mostly old men.
Happy hour.
Yeah, kind of. It's just old white men drinking.
Good point.
And I go into this one bar, and there's these two guys and a bartender, that's it, in the whole bar. And I'm like, hi, I'm here with AIDS Walk. We're just seeing if we could leave out our flyers out or a poster or anything like that. And they're like, yeah, that's great. And this guy starts talking to me, and he goes, and he was with an older gentleman who's like in his 80s, so similar, like they're going to say something crazy. Mm-hmm. And he starts to be like, the old guy's like, oh, yeah, those gays, those faggots, blah, 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 blah. He's saying horrible stuff. And I'm like, oh, God. And, you know, we can't be combative with people, so I'm just trying to, you know, gracefully get out of this without inciting this man. The bartender's getting a little annoyed at the old guy, and the guy sitting next to him is getting annoyed. And the guy goes, hey, shut up. And he goes, AIDS doesn't just affect gay men. My sister died from it.
Like,
yeah. And
wow.
He's like,
oh my God.
One of the first cases to get it through intervenous drug, not drugs, like a blood transfusion.
Yeah. No.
His sister was a child who got it through a blood transfusion and ended up dying when he was, I think she may have been a teenager, and he was like a little kid when it happened. So he goes, he tells me this crazy story about how his sister was one of the first cases to get it through a blood transfusion, one of the first people to, like, you know, they didn't even know that's how it was transmitted, and then she had this horrible death, and he was a little kid when it happened. He's still messed up from it. And then he said, hey, did you go to this grocery store down the block? They said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they said, no, they couldn't take it. He goes, you go back there.
Yes.
So he gets on the phone, and he's like, and his name was like Vinny or Tony,
right,
or something, like, mm-hmm, classic Italian. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you go back there, and you tell them, you speak for the manager, they're going to expect you. And I'm like, okay. So I go back to the store that did turn me away.
And you're like, Vinny sent me.
Yeah, and the manager, the door's open, the manager comes out. He goes, AIDS Walk New York? I say, yeah.
And he's the one that rejected
you
before.
Well, his manager.
Right.
Somebody under him. He didn't see me. So they bring me to a place in the store at the end of where all these cash registers are, and it was high up, and they put the whole stand there as if it was like lit, like, oh, so everybody could see it. It's like AIDS Walk, and he goes, I know my friend's history. You put it up. We're putting it up.
Wow.
So I was just like,
oh my god,
and like, you know, because it was just, I can't remember the name of the store too. It was on 4th Avenue or whatever, but it was like it's a famous
local
chain,
grocery
a local
store.
Chain in New York, and it was just this powerful moment where it was just like,
they're
what?
Destinos.
Yeah, and it was just the fact that the old man just went into that immediate, like, knee-jerk, kind of homophobic, kind of, and this guy's, like, holding it in, and then just go, shut up!
And
then
it
just, like,
followed by all this awesome redemption.
Yeah, like, my sister died,
that's
and then
amazing.
I was just like, and then, of course, when I got back to home base in Manhattan, which is, they're located on, like, 10th Avenue, I tell the story, and everybody's like, oh, my God. I'm like, I could make this up. It was so crazy. I was just like, whoa. Because I also met people with the virus, a couple of people who, like, own boutiques are like, oh, I have HIV, and I've had it for 20 years. And I'm like, oh, my God. And they're like, oh, you're with GMHC or whatever. And I'm like, yeah. So, like, you know, so that was, like, really powerful. And, like, we had some mean people, but they were mostly queens.
You,
sorry,
and
queens.
And then they were told me the nail
parts
technicians.
Parts of queens are really mean to us.
The nail technicians.
The nail shops, because there's a whole team of us doing this, and we worked by ourselves, and at the end of the day, we would share these crazy stories. And nail salons were very hit or miss. So, like, some nail salons would be like, oh, yeah, because we had little things, and we had a big thing, like posters. Some nail salons would take a little stack of cards, put them in the counter, thank you very much. And so, you're just like, I don't want to, you got so, like, scared of nail salons, that you're like, okay, you'd approach, and they would just get so mad at you for interrupting them, with not, like, because they go mani-pedi, and you're like, oh, it's my, like, no! And you just, like, run out of the store. Because, like, I mean, and I get it, they're like, lady, I don't want to deal with your
don't
stupid
slap
chair.
Don't slap the dick out of my mouth while trying to work.
Yeah, they were just like, and some of these poor nail salons, I just went, oh, man. Because there'd be, like, 6 women, they have the masks on, they're working so hard. And then you're like, I'm supposed to go into every store. You just, you want to do it. And then there's other stores that, like, corporate places would always give you that, I'm sorry, we can't do anything without going through a corporate store. I don't know why I make all my corporate people from Minnesota, but I do. Because it's kind of the energy you get. So, yeah, I just, basically, just the best neighborhood was, like, Bay Ridge was great. They actually were really receptive. But, like, I did get a tiny little crack at Chelsea, and I was like, can I just go to Chelsea and, like, hit the hair salons owned by men in their 50s, because those guys were like, give me 3 stands, 5 posters, we have a team, they were like, so nice, and then in Queens it was mainly people who were like immigrants who, I think it was just a lack of understanding of what we were about.
Yeah, and they're
concerned
about
AIDS, and they got very like,
they don't want to lose any business.
I don't want that in my business, because they would just see the word AIDS and they'd get freaked. And it was like, because we were on Queens Boulevard, and we would come back from that area just like, why did you send me out there? But I do think it was partly because they didn't
really understand
what we were doing. It's just because of the language barrier.
Yeah.
They couldn't, because most of them barely spoke English, and you're like, hi, and they just see AIDS, and they're like, no, and you're like, it's a charity, it helps sick people, I'm sorry, and, you know, the gay men's health crisis is, oh, and the other thing about, talk about a spirit, even though I am agnostic, and I am, but there was a guy that I went, who taught at my college, and his name was Marty DeMott, he's a very famous improv guy. Mm-hmm. And he had HIV, and he died of AIDS many years ago, about 20 years ago. And the thing that was really weird for us as kids is when he was dying, he had an apartment that he still kept in the Village, East Village. He came back to New York, and we thought, why is it so weird that he went back to New York? Why would he go back to New York? And it wasn't until I started working with Gay Men's Health Crisis that I went, oh, that's why he came back to New York. Because at the time, that was the only place you could go. And they would hook you up. They still do that. So people with a virus, they'll help you get a job if you don't have one. They'll give you food if you don't have it. They'll get you on meds if you don't have it. They'll get you counselors. There's a pharmacy there. I mean, they just...
Finn works
in the
medical
place.
Industry
as
well.
Yeah.
Have you dealt with anything of this nature?
No.
No?
And the reason is I work with adults with developmental disabilities, and there is a stigma attached to their already stigmatized existence, and that is, oh no, this person already has this. There's no way they're gay or whatever on top of that. And it's really
that's
heartbreaking
sad.
Because... Mm-hmm. We have people who are clearly either questioning, full-on gay, or bisexual, and it's apparent, and they have been dissuaded or threatened, and a couple of people have actually been removed from their homes because they were getting
horrible.
Physically abused by their parents.
Oh my God,
that's horrible.
Yeah.
Well, there's a flip side to that, too, because... okay, being a straight spouse, this is kind of strange, and that we've talked about this, and people have to tread very carefully, because there's this idea that if you're gay, then you're nothing else, like you're not also mentally ill. And I'm laughing because, I mean, everybody's what we are. We're a collection of everything. Some people are mentally ill and gay. Some people are mentally ill. Some people are gay.
Right.
And
snowflakes.
Yes. And it's just... You know,
right.
There are some people who have had a really hard time with their exes. That's straight people who were married to people who were closeted and then came out. Usually deceptive. It's a spectrum. I mean, there's so many different variations on that. And what I deal with, the community that I deal with, is mostly people who have dealt with deception, which is a separate thing in and of itself, because it's not every mixed orientation marriage has deception. Not at all, but it is a common thread. So what happens to some of these men and women is that their ex is out and proud, but then they also have severe mental illness. And when they try to point that out, people go, oh, you're being homophobic. And they're like, no, I'm not. My ex actually has a severe mental illness. And they happen to be gay, too. It's, you know, it's this attitude that, like, once you paint one thing on a person, you label that one thing, then that's all they are. And that's crazy, because we don't do that to straight people.
Right.
Straight people are allowed to be mentally ill, they're allowed to do all, you know. But for some reason, it's this bizarre, like, or things are excused because of. They say, oh, well, he can do that because he's gay. Well, maybe he's got a serious mental illness and that needs to be dealt with, in addition to. Because they're two separate things. Orientation is just like one thing, one tiny thing about a person. It doesn't define them.
Everyone has sexuality.
Yeah.
And then...
Everyone.
Everyone.
Guys have,
everyone.
Yeah, because it is complicated. Life's not easy, and we don't all fit nicely into a box. So it's why it's, I mean, I've gone on and on and on about how much I hate political correctness, because it doesn't allow for people who don't fit into boxes or situations that don't fit. I mean, it's just,
what's your relationship to orientation growing up? Like, was your family supportive?
I was, they say closeted, but, you know, someone like me, you know, I couldn't really hide it. But I will say, it was so obvious. When I finally did officially come out, when I was 19, really, my family was like, oh, we all knew. We were just waiting for you to say.
They were relieved.
They were relieved. It's like they knew the whole time. I was like, oh. My family knew, and
so
I guess everybody else knew, too.
Now they were able to be out in the open, too.
Now they were able to,
that's wonderful.
And, so they didn't have to, like, make excuses for me. As I imagine, they probably did. You know, I grew up in pretty much working class America until I moved to New York in 1994.
So you're blessed with a loving family.
That's great.
They're loving. Now, my family, we don't have, we're not a close family, but it's a loving family. They love me, I love them. You know, I don't talk to them very much. But, you know, it's like after a couple seconds on the phone, it's like, oh, everything's the same, everything's fine. All right.
Checking in.
Yeah, just checking in. And, you know, talk to everyone a couple times a year at the most, really. So, yeah. But, yeah, I'm certainly lucky that I didn't, you know, I didn't get kicked out of the house.
You didn't get beat up or...
Well, at school was a different story.
Yeah.
School was a different story. We don't have to go into that too much, but I hated school.
I had a very
school.
Hard time in school, and I fucking hated it, too.
Yeah, I hated school.
I think that's common. I mean, I'm starting to see what I think is really good is, because I work with children in one of my day jobs, and too many of them, but...
with your face painting.
Face painting is that now, more than ever... And I've been doing it for 16 years, and I've noticed it in the past several years. It's great. So you have a little boy that says, I want the princess crown with lots of glitter. And nobody stops him. And I'm like, yay!
Okay,
right. You know,
that was me.
Beautiful. I've done birthday parties where... I know, honey, and I love it. I've done birthday parties now where there'll be, you know, 18 little girls and one boy... And the one little boy's like, I want the princess crown with lots of glitter. And I'm like, and you may have that. And nobody stops me. Nobody says, please don't do that. Nobody says, talk him out of that. And there was always been okay for girls to pick boy designs because we...
You had that kid who wanted blackface one time, too.
They always, that happens. Because they have no idea what blackface is. Children will
ask
for
that. They just want
their face
to be
black. No. They don't know what they're asking for.
Because it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're young, sweet children who don't understand. They're innocent.
What did you convert them into? What did you switch
them
to?
The one little kid, and he was probably, you can't tell what their orientation is when they're a child because they're not sexual yet, but
right.
I would put money that
your
this kid would probably end up being gay.
Because
he was so hilarious and cute and creative, and just the way he posed.
Very flamboyant.
He literally posed like this for his He flipped his head back and arched his back and did this incredibly flamboyant
jazz
pose.
Hands.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love you. Anyway, and he had this kind of crazy outfit on. He came up to me and he's like, described his face. And he's like, I want an all black face with a gold mask and then a blue mustache. And I said, I can't do black on your face. And he's like, why? And I go, okay. Because he was a little bit, like if he was 4 or 5, I'd just say no and we'd move on. But because he was like 8, this was going to get a little tricky. And so I said very loudly so the parent would hear me, his grandfather. I said, I can't put blackface on you, Grandpa, like, help me out here. You know, Grandpa, like, help me out here. Because this is a little awkward. And then the grandpa goes, oh, yeah. No, no, we can't do that. And he's like, why? And he goes, I'll explain later. I was like, thank you. Because I was like, how do you get into this conversation? So then we ended up doing this crazy gold mask lined with a thick black line. And then he did a metallic blue. He picked the color mustache. And he had a kerchief on. And this kid was next level. And he had like long curly hair. His name was Gray. G-R-A-Y. Like the color, but with an A.
Yeah.
And I'm like, or the British spelling. Anyway, he was so cute. And he's so out there. And then he goes, it's a spy. I'm the spy. And that's what he called the look. And I'm like, I'm loving it, and you better tell everyone you came up with this, because I was just so tickled that he came up with this crazy face, and then he posed like this, and I was like, you are so... And his brother, he had a little brother who was also dressed completely crazy, he had a little kerchief on too, and the mom or the dad or whoever had dressed them really eccentrically for children, like suspenders, really wacky clothes. But the brother was far more neutral and just got like Spider-Man. But like Gray was like, okay.
But if his name was Gray.
His name was Gray. I loved him.
That already tells you a lot.
Yeah, very artsy parents. I even said to the grandfather, I said, call me crazy. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Are their parents artists? And he's like, the jewelers.
Jewelers.
The jewelers.
And I'm like, of course they are.
Of course they are.
I just love these two kids. They like made my day. But yeah, I had an Orthodox Jewish kid ask for blackface once. So this was another one where it was just an innocent, they just don't understand. He was wearing like a Bob Marley, it was Purim. He was wearing a Bob Marley t-shirt and had one of those goofy hats with the dread, and you know, I mean, with the head, a little unfortunate kind of dreadlock hat that was sort of like Rastafarian.
Yeah.
A little unfortunate.
That's what you're talking
about. Okay. And he sat down, and he was older. He was like 13. And he's like, I want you to paint my face brown so I can look like Bob Marley. And I was like, no, dear, no.
Right.
And now him, because he was older, I sat him down, and we did have a little chat. And I said, it's insulting to an entire group of people. And there's a whole history in it. Orthodox Jewish kids are so sheltered, they don't get the same kind of media, so that's why he didn't know. And so he was really cool. He's like, oh, I don't want to do that. I said, some people would even find that hat kind of, like, kind of tell them. I'm like, you're kind of, but he's like, I just like Bob Marley's music. I said, I know, sweetie, you didn't understand. You don't understand. And then the only time I had an adult do it, other than like a drunk asshole at a party that will be like, yeah, blackface, where they're trying to be like edgy. I had a guy who did that to me at a party called Fat Fridays, where everybody at the party was...
You mentioned that to me. Was he drunk?
Yeah, he was a pompous jerk from Long Island who I think was socially awkward and was trying to be funny. And he came, and I literally said to him, and our buddy was there, the tall, beautiful photographer. His name is escaping me from Alex. No.
Alex Colby?
Yeah, Alex Colby, yeah.
Oh, okay. So he was your witness?
Yeah, Alex Colby was security there. And I said to this man, I told Alex Colby about it later.
Yeah, he's built this, like a brick shit
this,
house
this,
to fuck you up.
This little guy from Long Island thought he was being funny because he kept asking. He knew what he was asking for. I had a Russian guy ask for it once too, but he just clueless. It's cultural. He just had no idea what he was asking for. And that I had to get his wife to come in and say, no, 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 no. I'm like, thank you, because I was not going to do it. But this party was, I'd never do it. But this party was a guy who came up to me and he said, he goes, do blackface. And I said, no. He goes, it'll be hilarious. I said, no. And he just kept making this dumb joke. And then I said, I don't know how this joke is funny. Why on earth would you ask for that? I will refuse to do it. He said, you're going to refuse to do it? I said, hell yeah, I'm going to refuse to do it. I said, and if you have a problem with it, I'll go find a security guard. We'll pull them right over here, and I will tell them why I won't do what you want me to do. And your ass will get thrown out of this party. I can assure you. And then he was like, oh, I was just kidding. What? Not a funny joke, dude. Like, because that's for a swastika on your face. Like, are you that stupid? Like, I'm not, like, number one, I'm not your servant. I don't do whatever you tell me to do. Number two, like, how is that ever funny? It's just never funny. But the Russian guy just, he wanted to look like an African warrior. And I had to talk him off that one. Because he just, but I gave him a little bit more leeway because he's Russian and they just have a different history, and he was kind of fresh off the boat and he just didn't have, he had no clue. He had no clue.
Cool
and his
question.
Wife set him straight.
Yes. Do you have any gigs coming up?
No, weirdly. I just work on a Webster Hall.
Well, where could they find you on the
just go to the web. You can just type my name and you get way too many pages, unfortunately.
Okay.
And Julia Jeske, and I have a blog and Twitter.
And your last name is J-E-S-K-E.
You can see me on Twitter. I attack Trump daily.
Yes, it's one of her biggest hobbies.
Yes, every single day I troll and yell at him. I'm surprised he hasn't blocked me yet.
It's like cheaper than therapy, right?
It really is. Every single day.
Lakes, do you have anything coming up?
Yes, but I can't really remember what it is. I'm not performing a whole lot right now, so I know I just got booked for the Schlepp Sisters at Coney Island on August 25th.
Amazing.
Fun. And you're definitely
Twin Peaks.
You're definitely doing September 16th.
What's September 16th?
That is the next Trump dump.
Oh yeah, that was like on Showtime or something?
Yes.
Yeah, except I had been in a car accident that day,
so
actually didn't get to do it. But hopefully the guys who hit us will, pay me my worth in missed Showtime FaceTime.
It's so great, because Francine's so great.
Yeah, Francine deserves every ounce of what she's getting.
She's worked so hard.
Worked her ass off. There is a Twin Peaks show coming up in July.
Nice.
Sometime as well. So I'll be doing that.
Fabulous. Machine Dazzle.
Well, first of all, you can see me and probably a couple other at the Mermaid Parade on Saturday.
Yeah, me too.
I hope it doesn't get rained out.
There.
Yeah, and then you can catch me. I will be manifesting in my Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence drag at Folsom East in the Meatpacking District. And on Monday the 19th, I'm singing at Amber Zone at Sid Gold's. That Amber Martin puts together, and that's going to be fun. Viva DiConcini is going to be there also singing a song, but she's going to do my electric guitar, and Paul Leshen on piano. It's going to be fun. I won't tell you the song. You have to come and see. And then, to take the conversation just really quick, I'm marching in the Gay Pride Parade with the Research Foundation to Cure AIDS, and you can register for this. We have a float with a DJ.
Yay.
And it's going to be fun. And if you register, you get like a T-shirt. We're going to be handing out balloons. I'm going to be working a look. And then you can RSVP at rftca@eventbrite.com. And it'll say, join our float during the New York City Gay Pride Parade. And you'll see, my friend Ken Beats, who did the stem cell research that cured the Berlin patient, and you can Google that.
Oh.
And that's the float that I am marching with.
So
that's what I have coming up immediately.
Wonderful. Emma Peel.
And on Sunday, I am also doing the Folsom Street East event, and they're celebrating 20 years of kink. They celebrate LGBTQ. And allies and trans and everything, and it's this great outdoor event that I'm really thrilled and honored to be a part of.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So that's on Sunday, and I believe it's 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Fabulous. And if you like what you hear and you enjoy censorship-free independent radio, go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/pledge, and you can pledge as little as $1 a month. And this concludes part one of our little soiree tonight, and you can find archive episodes at fallenwoman.com. And everybody, cheers, raise a glass or something.
I have a card.
Ching.
Ching.
Card.
Ching. Ching.
Yes.
Ching.
There we go.
Ching.
I love you guys.
Love you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I am a nasty woman. I'm not as nasty as a man who looks like he bathes in Cheeto dust. A man whose words America, electoral college sanctioned hate speech. Confederate flags being tattooed across my city. Maybe the South actually is gonna rise again. Maybe for some, it never really fell. Blacks are still in shackles and graves just for being black. Slavery has been reinterpreted as the prison system in front of people who see melanin. On a pride flag, and I didn't know devils could be resurrected, but I feel Hitler in these streets, a mustache traded for a toupee, Nazis renamed the cabinet, electroconversion therapy, the new gas chamber, shaming the gay out of America, turning rainbows into suicide notes. Racism, fraud, conflict of interest, homophobia, sexual assault, transphobia, white supremacy, misogyny, ignorance, white privilege. I'm not as nasty as using little girls like Pokemon before their bodies have even developed. I am not as nasty as your own daughter being your favorite sex symbol. Like your wet dreams infused with your own genes. But yeah, I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman. I'm not nasty. Like the combo of Trump and Pence being served up to me in my voting booth. I'm nasty like the battles my grandmother's fought to get me into that voting booth. I'm nasty like the fight for wage equality. Scarlett Johansson, what were the female actors paid? Less than half of what the male actors earned last year. See, even when we do go into higher paying jobs, our wages are still cut with blades sharpened by testosterone. Why is the work of a black woman and a Hispanic woman worth only 63 and 54 cents of a white man's privileged daughter? This is not a feminist myth. This is inequality. So we are not here to be debunked. We are here to be respected. We are here to be would. We don't like throwing away our favorite pairs of underpants. Tell me, why are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra and Rogaine are not? Is your erection really more than protecting the sacred, messy part of my womanhood? Is the blood stain on my jeans more embarrassing than the your hair? I know it is hard to look at your own entitlement and privilege. You may be afraid of the truth. I am unafraid to be honest. It may sound petty, bringing up a few extra cents. It adds up to the pile of change I have yet to see. Physical contact, half my life. I have been zipping up my smile, hoping you don't think I want to unzip your jeans. I am unafraid to be nasty because I am nasty, like Susan, Elizabeth, Eleanor, Amelia, Rosa, Gloria, Condoleezza, Sonia, Malala, Michelle. Hillary. of nasty women. So if you, a nasty woman, or you love one who is, let me hear you say, hell yeah. Set the world on fire. That is my one mad desire. I'm a devil in disguise. Got murder in my eyes. Now I could see blood running through the street. Just look what a hole I'm in. Give me gunpowder, give me dynamite. Give me gunpowder, give me dynamite. Yeah, I'd wreck the city, wanna blow it up tonight. I took my Winchester down off the shelf. I took my Winchester down off the shelf. When I get through shooting, won't be nobody else.